You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a busy, busy show for you today. Coming up in about a half an hour, Journal Sentinel reporter James Causey is going to be joining us. He had an article last week. He and his wife were caught in a police chase.
Yeah.
Lots of reckless driving in Milwaukee. Lots of efforts being spent. Lots of money being spent. Bump outs. Speed bumps.
Traffic calming measures.
Traffic calming measures. Yep. Trying to cut down on this. And James Causey, at least according to the article that he wrote about this, has some different ideas about what should happen with people who continue to drive recklessly in Milwaukee. Should be a very interesting conversation. I hope you will join us for that. In hour number two, the results will be announced today.
I don't want to know. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Be excited.
From the beak itself. From the spokespeak.
The spokespeak.
The spokespeak. Emma Schatz is going to be here to announce the winner of Wisconsin's Fat Bird Week. Lots of excitement around this.
Oh, yeah.
It was a bracket-style voting, and we'll see who ended up as Wisconsin's fattest bird. And this is a wonderful way to bring attention to conservation efforts in Wisconsin, the importance of birds to our lives, seriously. And it's just a good, happy thing.
It's just something here, folks, to make you feel good for a moment. That's what we like to do here on the show.
Absolutely. At 10:30, we have audio sorbet coming up, and this is going to be related to something that I did over the weekend. I hope I'm not the only one who's old enough to remember Mrs. Kravitz from the old Bewitched series. Yeah. I did a Mrs. Kravitz over the weekend. I hope I'm not the only one.
I bet you're not.
We'll talk about that after 10:30, your Mrs. Kravitz moments, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Mayor McCheese Cracks Down edition.
There you go.
Not laughing about this one, boy.
Never laugh about about crime in Burgerland.
In Burgerland. That's coming up at the very end of the show around 10:51, so stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, this is good news if you're in the stock market. Stocks at the opening bell are up. The S&P 500 opened 2.9% higher. The Dow jumped 2.5%, and the NASDAQ up almost 4% as the opening bell got underway today. Global markets, this from the Washington Post, have been volatile since late February. That's when the White House started announcing these tariffs, willy-nilly. All three indexes fell deep into correction territory before recovering. On Friday, things were not good when the market closed. Nope. But the deal has offered a temporary reprieve. U.S. tariffs now, after Scott Bessent met with the Chinese over the weekend, they have cut our tariffs on Chinese goods from 145% now to 30%. In exchange, Beijing will cut its blanket tariffs on American products from 125% to 10%. Both of those kick in on Wednesday. This is only for 90 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have paid money to have been in that room to watch the Chinese just probably say, this is what's going to happen.
145 down to 30 is quite a reduction.
Yeah, it's almost like it was bloviating from the start.
I mean, I guess when you're in negotiations, and trust me, I've never been in high-powered negotiations, but I guess you start really high, and then you come down.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
Drastically.
Over 100%.
Yeah. So anyway, this is will kick in on Wednesday. That's good news.
Yeah.
And hopefully our ports, which are pretty much empty right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Will start filling up once again. And all those truckers who were concerned about losing their jobs because they would not have anything to move will be back on the roads.
I just say this, though, Jay. Can I say something?
You may, certainly.
I think maybe instead of playing with the stock market the way they did and the job, like you just said, people afraid they're going to lose their jobs, ports being empty, maybe they could have came out this whole tariffs thing with a more professional business, governmental type of mentality instead of we are going to punish the people of this country to get our way. And then when they finally get their way, people are saying, we'll give them the credit they're due. Yeah. I was trying to give them the credit when the stock market was tanking and they didn't want it. So now it's, you know, good job, I guess.
Well, again, this kicks in on Wednesday. It lasts for 90 days.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, minds can always change.
Oh, good Lord, can they ever.
Just at the last second. So we'll keep you updated on that. But again, as of us coming on the air right now, stocks are up. So that is good news. Again, a lot of people have their 401ks invested in the stock market and all kinds of things. So that is good. I wanted to start off with this, and I'm very curious for your opinion at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This goes to the Abundant Life Christian School shooting and the young girl who committed this act and then apparently took her own life. Her father has been arrested for supplying her with the guns, even though she was underage. Is this the right thing? Should we be arresting the parents of young gunmen?
I think if they're supplying them illegally, then yes. This isn't the first time this happened either. They've arrested parents before.
The couple in Michigan.
Yeah.
They're the first ones.
This is a pretty new thing that parents are being held responsible for their children's actions when it comes to guns and their access to guns. If a child goes and buys a gun on the street and does something, but what we're seeing in both instances is that there was easy access to guns in the home, not a lot, and the parents were encouraging, or at the very least, apathetic.
Well, he bought her these guns.
Yeah.
So Jeffrey Rupnow is the father who has been arrested. I believe he's out on bond. His daughter had a history of cutting herself, which is tragic.
Yes.
He had told police that he had locked up every knife in the house at one point, and at another time he brought his daughter to the ER, but they got her into therapy, which is great.
Fantastic.
She was in therapy for anxiety, depression, anger, and self-harm. Then he gave her a handgun as a Christmas present in 2023 and bought her a second handgun last summer. The defendant said, it was my gun, but she saved up. It was her own money. As a reminder, you do have to be 18 years old to purchase a firearm in Wisconsin. Natalie Rupnow was 14 at the time. By the time she started at Abundant Life Christian School as a freshman, Jeffrey, the dad, concluded his daughter's problems were minor. Thought she had beaten it and did not enroll her back in therapy. There was never a time, he said, when she told me that there was a serious concern. He also apparently disregarded his daughter's repeated comments that she wanted to kill herself, telling officers he thought she was just doing it for attention. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Behaviors like violence toward animals, which we've talked about many times in the past, that is a very disturbing sign.
Yes.
Violence toward animals, expressing an intent to engage in violence, and troubling social media posts are warning signs when paired with a troubled home life or other bad childhood experiences. Is this the right thing? Should we be arresting more parents who are supplying weapons for their children and not supplying weapons for them to commit a terrible, heinous act like happened at Abundant Christian Life School? But when those weapons are then used in that way, should the parents be held responsible? 855-752-4842. Jeffrey Rupnow's bail has been set at $20,000 cash after he was charged in connection criminally with that December 16th shooting. He is facing two felony counts of giving a dangerous weapon to someone under 18 also charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which is another felony.
I personally think yes, because he is the parent. He gave his child a gun who shouldn't be having a gun. Like, first of all, just legally should not be having a gun. They're not allowed to have a gun until they're 18. And everything you just told me with regard to the mental health aspect of everything, that is so irresponsible on his part. First of all, you never beat it. You learn to manage your mental. If you suffer from mental illness, you go to therapy, you do the work. This young lady should never have been anywhere near a gun, just for her own safety, period. Not even for the safety of others. I can't say in every situation it's the right thing to arrest the parent, but I think in this situation, I think it is, because he is responsible. He gave her the means of doing these things. And then, and not only did we lose all those individuals, we lost her too.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I know she is the perpetrator. I know she is the person who did this. But I still, after listening to all this, I can't just sit here with a cold heart and say, well, too bad for her. No, she was hurting as well. And she needed help. And instead, her father gave her a gun.
855-752-4842. Is it the right move to arrest parents when children, their children under 18, are involved in gun crimes and the parents have supplied the guns? Mary from Wauwatosa texting in, yes to parental responsibility at birth. Parents assume 18 years of legal responsibility for their children. And from Chippewa Falls, listening on WAUK, if a child is using a gun and they're not old enough to purchase one, then the parent should be held accountable. And Roger from Stevens Point texting in, if the parents are being held accountable for their underage child's truancy, they are just as liable for any actions, including bringing a weapon to school.
That's a great way of putting it. Your kid gets, you buy beer for your kids and they're underage, you are getting arrested.
855-752-4842. Is this the right move? The father of the gunman at Abundant Life Christian School here in Madison, arrested, being held on $20,000 bail for providing his daughter with these weapons. 855-752-4842. We will continue this conversation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. 4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, the Journal Sentinel's James Causey is going to join us. He had an article in the paper last week about a hit and run, reckless driving incident that he and his wife were involved in. And he has some ideas on what should be done to cut down on reckless driving, specifically in Milwaukee. They're trying all kinds of traffic calming methods, including, you know, bump outs on the curbs and speed bumps so big you could seriously you could ski off those things.
Yeah,
there's one on Center Street that's insane. But James Causey thinks we should be spending more attention in a different way. And I tend to agree with him. So that's coming up after the 9:30 news. Right now, though, we were talking about the Abundant Life Christian School shooting that happened here in December in Madison. And the father of the gunman has been arrested. He is on $20,000 bail.
Doesn't seem like a lot, by the way.
It really doesn't. And the question is, should we be holding more parents accountable in this way when their child, especially an underage child, brings a gun to school and tragedy ensues? Erin West, a 42-year-old teacher at the school, and Ruby Vergara, a 14-year-old freshman, died in that shooting. Six other people were injured, including another student who is still hospitalized in critical condition.
To this day?
To this day.
Oh, my goodness.
This is from, this is from May 9th from Wisconsin Public Radio, Sarah Lair. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Is this the right thing? Should we be holding parents responsible in an instance like this? According to the criminal complaint, Dad Jeffrey Rupno told police his daughter started seeing a therapist when she was a sixth grader. She had a history of cutting herself. At one point, he had locked up every knife in the house. At one point later on, he believed that she was getting better.
Yeah.
Didn't see the need to put her back into therapy. And tragically, this happened. And the other thing that jumps out at me is that he did have a gun safe. The day before the shooting, Rupnow's daughter had one of the guns out of the family safe. She was cleaning it. Dad says he couldn't remember whether it ended up back in the safe or not. He also admitted his daughter may have known how to open it. He said she didn't officially know the combination, but at one point he told her it was his social security number backwards in case something happened to him and she needed to get at the guns.
So this is just a story of total irresponsibility. I mean, and I'm sorry. I know that I'm not a parent. I don't understand the complexities and the difficulties of parenting, but I also do understand some basic things. If your daughter has mental health issues, that's great that you locked up the knives. It's great that she didn't have access to those things. But I think to just then allow her access to a much more powerful weapon than a knife and to just not really take it seriously. This whole pulling her out of therapy. If a child's in therapy at sixth grade, that's 12 years old. They don't just shake it off. They don't just kick it. That is I'm sorry, personally, I believe therapy is a lifelong commitment. It is a thing that when you don't go back, especially for kids, that's something you consult with the therapist, counselor, or doctor. Yeah. But to just not do it anymore, and then she's talking about ending her own life. I'm sorry. Absolutely. He should be arrested. Period.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you for joining us.
Well, if my dog bites somebody, who's responsible?
Fair.
I am.
Yep.
If a person's child does something like this, the parents are responsible. I'm so tired as a school bus driver of parents not wanting to take any responsibility for their children.
Yeah.
One of the reasons our society has gone down the crapper like it has is because parents seem to think they can have children, but they don't need to be responsible for them. And that's a bunch of hooey.
I appreciate it, Cindy. Thanks a lot. Well, there just does seem to be they raise themselves.
Well, I mean, we don't have time to talk about it now, and we can maybe talk about it another day, but like this whole thing that happened at Waterford High School, like the racist comments being hurled at these young athletes. And it wasn't just kids. It was the parents, too. And I'm hoping that these parents are held responsible as well. That I don't like turning into like, the problem. You know, that's not who I am. But when I see parents just taking little responsibility, and then they have the nerve to say, how dare you tell me what my child can read and can't read? Ban these books. These teachers should be fired. You're not going to tell my kid about critical race theory.
Yeah.
It's just infuriating.
Lori from Hayward texting in. She's going to have the final word before we go to the news. Jane, as a parent of two grown children who have kids of their own, it's clear that over the years, children make their own choices and therefore are responsible for their own actions. But in this case, with a parent knowing the child has emotional issues, and yet he goes out and buys her guns when she's too young to buy her own, then definitely he should be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And a couple of comments on the live stream as well. But, Dawn, there's a Polaroid picture display at the Rijk Museum in Amsterdam of American children holding guns. We have a problem. News is coming up next. When we come back, reckless driving in Milwaukee. The Journal Sentinel's James Causey is going to join us. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. But every day can be a magic carpet ride. A little bit of courage is all we lack. So catch me if you can. I'm going back. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio and Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are trying to connect with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey. We've got him on the live stream. We're having a few audio issues.
Can you hear me, Matt?
Oh.
James, I think we got you. Can you hear us okay?
No, we
can. Perfect.
All right. We have a little bit of a delay. But thank you so much for joining us, James. I really appreciate it. If we continue to have audio issues, we're going to ask you to call in, and we'll give you the number in the little chat.
Already done.
Okay. So we'll see how this goes. But you had a really important article in last week's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about an incident that you and your wife ended up in the middle of. I think we got James frozen now on the live stream. He is definitely frozen.
Yeah, James, we're going to ask you to call the phone number, please, and we will get you on the line and get you on the interview.
855-752-4842. We're going to wait to connect with James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I will just share the headline with you from the article that he wrote that was published May 7th. My wife and I saw firsthand how a simple trip can lead to a brush with disaster. Too many young people are stealing cars and causing chaos on our roads, leading to injuries, property damage, and lost quality of life for those who happen to be in their way. And unfortunately, this couldn't be more topical. Today's headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 90-year-old crossing the street dies in hit and run in Milwaukee. The suspect arrested. If you live in the city of Milwaukee, if you do any driving around the city of Milwaukee, you have experienced this yourself, and you have seen it happen. James, have we got you now?
I think you do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Fantastic. First of all, James, if you would take us through what happened with you and your wife. You guys were just out running errands, right?
Yeah, it was a beautiful Saturday. We decided to go get ice cream. My wife is a nurse, so she enjoys those times when she's off. So she said, you want to go get custard? And I said, sure. So we head over to the south side to get ice cream from Cops, like a normal Saturday.
Yep.
And when we were leaving, we just started noticing, just because it was such a nice day, people were driving crazy and driving fast and passing on the right and off. So when we were coming back home and I looked off of 39th and Cap, we almost got hit by two cars just driving fast anyway. And my wife was like, it's time to get home. So when we got off of Interstate 41 and passed Washington High School, we heard the sirens. We could hear the sirens. We had our windows down.
Yep.
And my wife was driving and she saw this car just driving reckless and several squad cars chasing it, this car. And I told my wife, just go drive fast. Let's get out of here. Like, no, I want to see just in case they come back our way. So she was driving very cautious, really slow. And by the time we got to, I believe, and Sherman, this car just came crossing right in front of us, about 100 feet, 150 feet in front of us, and it just T-boned a white Mercedes right in front of us.
Oh,
and
gosh.
When you see something like that, you can't believe it, because it seemed like it's in slow, but you see it.
Yep.
And it's hard to take.
Yep.
And the people behind the wheel of the speeding car, the stolen car, were teens, two young boys and a young lady. And it's just when you see that, because they didn't get hurt, but the woman who they hit was injured. And it makes you just wonder. And, you know, my uncle got hit by a reckless driver late last year, frustrated because it seems like all these measures that they're putting in place are not working to stop all of this stuff.
Well, and the things that they're doing, and we were talking about this before you joined us, are the bump outs, right? They're doing the bump outs and they're adding these speed bumps. And I admit you, there's one speed bump on Center Street that you could do ski jumps off of. It's so big. But I would think that the people who are doing this know where those things are, and they're there. And for one thing, if you're driving a stolen car, you're not going to care if you get bottomed out going over a speed hump, right? That's not... Is that much of a deterrent?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't deter people who are in stolen cars, not at all. I mean, they don't care how many speed bumps they hit. They
right.
don't care if they tear up the car. Their only mission is to steal a car and do whatever other crime doing it. And they don't care about injuring you or themselves. And the sad part is, like, when these young people were arrested, two of them had on masks, right? And I'm pretty sure that these masks were so they could conceal their identities. I don't think they were worried about COVID or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
James,
they were arrested, and it seemed like it was matter of fact.
Like they expected it to happen?
It was matter of put in.
James, we're going to have to ask you to call in because we're still glitching on the live stream here. If you would give us a jingle and we'll do the rest of the interview that way at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, because again, we're still getting, you're freezing up a little bit here and there, and there's a little bit of a lag, and I really want to continue this conversation because I think you have a very different perspective from some things that I've heard from other folks about what they think the answer is to cracking down on reckless driving. And again, this is something, if you live in the city of Milwaukee, if you do much traveling around certain parts of the city, and it's mm-hmm. on the north and the south side as well, you've experienced this. The Milwaukee slide, which is such an innocuous term.
What is that?
So you're at a stoplight and someone is to the right of you in what would normally be the right turn lane.
Yes.
And then when the light turns green, they cut in front of you.
Oh, yes. That's what that's...
Mm. That's called the Milwaukee slide, which again is this nice, not dangerous sounding thing. It's a terrible... It's terrible.
Yeah.
James Causey, we got you on the line now. Thank you so much for giving us a call. Appreciate it. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry about that.
No worries at all. What are you hearing from the community, James? Because again, I think sometimes it's like you're picking on our kids. And that's why we do the bump outs and the speed bumps. Do you know what? So these kids that you saw get arrested in front of you, what happens to those kids once they get into the system, or do they even get into the system? I'm curious.
Well, that's the hard part, because we don't know what happens to them. They usually go to juvie, and because of they have so many rights, it's really hard for us, unless they hurt, like kill someone, and they're sent to adult court. You really don't know what happens to them. But what we've heard is, and what police have told us, is that after they do something like this, if it's just property damage, they're really back on the street within, you know, at the most a day or so.
Seriously?
So, yeah, it's one of these things. It's a rotating door, and something has to be done to fix this, because if they're not learning from their mistakes, and just think about this. It was about 20 squads. I kid you not, because they had to block off streets. They were chasing these kids and doing all this kind of stuff. They injured a woman, tore up her car, tore up the stolen car that they were in because that car flipped. All the damage that they did, all the people that they traumatized in this high-speed chase, and they get to walk like, okay, like they didn't even do anything. What lessons are learned in that? And that's the frustration part on people who have lost their property, people who have been injured, and insurance. Our insurance keeps going up. Mm. And it's like, what are we getting for this? I mean, we had to change insurance companies just because our insurance rates kept going up. And we was like, we didn't even do anything.
Wow.
We haven't reported anything, but it's based on where you live. And so those things are so frustrating to people who are doing the right things that it just builds up and you just get angry, you know? So that's how we feel.
Well, and I think tragically for some of these kids, this is a point of honor, right? They get to go back to their buddies and say, yep, we stole this thing and we did this thing and yep, and now we're back.
I wish I knew what was going on in their minds. When you talk to them, they really don't have much of they really don't have good answers as to why they do what they do. I think we want to assume that they don't have anything better to do. But if you just look at reading levels in the city of our kids and how they're struggling in reading and math, there's plenty of studying that they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
not very sexy, but it's something they could do.
I've never spoken to a child who's stolen a car, but I've talked to kids who've done things wrong. And usually when you say, why'd you do that? They go, I don't know. That's their like, full answer.
That's always their answer. And, you know, we want to give them roller rinks. We want to give them all these things that they could do to get out their energy and things like that. But don't you have to earn that responsibility? You have to earn that. We can't just give them these things, because as soon as they open these roller rinks, as soon as they open these play areas, it'll be grand opening, grand closing, because they would do something to get it shut down. Because they have to show that they can appreciate it, and I don't think they're doing that right now.
You make such a good point, James. A number of years ago when I was working at a different radio station and I was talking to a local activist, and her solution to this was to open a racetrack on the north side so kids could go and race that way. And that just seems like backwards logic to me.
Okay, let's just follow that through. Who's going to pay for the insurance? What cars are they going to be driving? Yeah. What happens if they get hurt? I mean, that just doesn't make any kind of sense. It doesn't even make logical sense. I think what we'll be doing is teaching them how to be better getaway drivers.
Yeah, so, seriously. Well,
and James, something you just mentioned now was, you know, talking about reading scores and education. I think going back to what I said about you ask a kid why they did something wrong and they'll shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know, is because we're also not addressing critical mental health issues with young people and figuring out what's the root cause of the behavior they're doing. Why are they doing that? And we don't have those options. We don't have that access because, you know, whether it's the state or the country, we don't have a true interest in mental health with our people. And I think that part of that problem, part of the solution is access to mental health for young kids to talk about what's going on and figure out, like, oh, why are they being, excuse the pun, driven to these types of things?
That's an excellent point. And that's what our young people have been seeking. That's one of the things that they constantly tell me that they need is mental health services. They want teachers who look more like them. They mm-hmm. want mental health counselors who look more like them. But what do we give them? We give them more police officers in schools And that was a fight in its own self. That's a topic for another day.
Yep.
But we give them that, and that's not what they ask for. So I think we have to start listening to the kids a little bit more.
Agreed.
If you're just joining us, Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey is our guest. Great article that we will include in our show notes about James and his wife getting caught in the midst of a reckless driving stolen car incident that must have just been terrifying. I can't even imagine. James, we're going to continue our conversation with you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Joining us on the phone, Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey is with us. He had an article last week about he and his wife were essentially in the middle of a stolen car police chase that ended up with a major crash. Woman injured, the kids arrested. James, we got a whole bunch of calls lined up that we're probably not going to have time to take. But I wanted to go back to your article where it says that you talk about making the laws more punitive, making sure that people who do steal cars and drive recklessly like this get something more than just this revolving door, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if we really... You don't want the punishment to be so harsh that a young person can never recover. But at the same time, you just don't want to give them a slap on the back of the hand because they need to understand that, you know, some people may say it's just a car and you should be okay with that. And we used to steal cars back in the days and joyride and stuff like that. I've never been in a stolen car. But a lot of people, you hear that kind of language, that's something we used to do growing up. But it's a whole lot different today than it was even back then.
Yeah.
These kids are stealing cars, driving crazy, putting everybody's lives in danger. And how many people do we have to lose? How many lives do we have to lose before we realize that this is a very, very serious crime? And it's property damage. And not only that, if you lose your car, that could impact your livelihood. It could set you back months.
Yes.
It could cause you to lose your home.
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the other things too, James, that's up top of that is that, you know, I mean, I also never been in a stolen car or the joyriding thing, but you did it and then it was done and you moved on. And whether it was right, like the severity is another discussion, but now it's also about people putting this on the internet, putting these videos on the internet for follows, for likes, for clicks, for all those things. And it's more almost about getting the attention from the world than it is about actually stealing the car, which you should never do in the first place. But I mean, there's a whole new layer, which is social media on top of this.
Oh yeah. Because I think a lot of young people believe if it's not caught on video, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of, praise from their friends for doing that kind of stuff. It's just crazy. It's madness, and it's a mental health element to that as well.
Yes.
But I wonder, too, James, I used to work on 7th and Capitol, and I would drive down from the northwest side, and I'd jump onto Capitol about 35th Street. I almost got killed about 3 times a week. And these weren't kids. These were adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where do you think they get it from?
Yeah, those kids. And seriously, yeah. I used to want to follow some of these people to their destination and just ask them, why? Why was that necessary for you to do that? Why?
That wouldn't be the safest thing to do.
Well, which kind of stopped me. Yeah, that kind of stopped me on that. But
well,
But you know what I'm saying, right, James?
I do know what you're saying. You know what it comes down to? I think a lot of people don't understand how frustrating it is until you're caught up in it. You know, like when my uncle was injured late last year, a car struck him. He had probably never drive again. He's in his 80s. Oh. It terrified him to the point his car got totaled. Jeez. He's like, I'm done with driving. And, you know, this is a church-going man who honestly just goes out to eat and goes to church. And goes to the grocery store. That's all he pretty much does.
Yeah.
And now we have to take up and pick up the pace and take him to all these different places. So it's crazy.
Well, and you know, Jane and I have had discussions off air about this topic many times. And I don't live in Milwaukee anymore, but one thing I do see where I live, and I live in southeastern Wisconsin, in Kenosha, and I drive through Kenosha and Racine a lot, I see its own versions of reckless driving. And I don't want to sound like the old man yelling at the sky here, but one of the things I think is the problem is we see movies now, too, where people are driving crazy and they think, well, I can drive like that.
And I'm invincible.
And I'm on the freeway and I'm just going to slalom through cars and I'm going to go. I'm going to follow. I mean, I've had people, I am a very fastidious driver. People flash their brights on when I'm going 10 miles over the speed limit because I'm not going fast enough for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we could blame media if we want, but hell, I grew up on a Dukes of Hazzard. So
fair point. Me too. You're absolutely right, James.
I mean, it's always been a part of pop culture to have, you know, fast driving and stuff like that. So I don't want to just put it on that. I think a lot of kids are seeking thrills and the excitement that they get from this. That's what we need to try to understand, why they choose to put their lives in danger. And I think a lot of it gets back at, a lot of these kids don't even see themselves living past a certain age. Like, they don't see themselves getting old. So they take these chances. They become risk takers with not just driving recklessly, but with everything that they do in life, from, you know, sex and every drugs and all this kind of culture that they do, because they don't see themselves living to see 18, 19, 20 and graduating from high school and going to college. So they try to live this fast life because to them, that's excitement. That's living.
Sure.
And we have to taper that back.
Well, and I think that's so important, James, because I think that's a perspective that so many people just cannot relate to, right? It's that measure of hopelessness and that measure of I have no future. What does it matter? We could have you on the entire 2 hours of the show. We would love to have you back. James Causey is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter and has a great, great article that we will include in our show notes. Thank you so much for your time, James, and we'd love to get you back on soon.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
You as too. Well. News is coming up next. Tom and Carmela and Ollie, if you want to comment on this, we'll bring it back after the top of the hour news. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.